You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Rory DeLaghi with you to look ahead to Sunday's racing. What a cracking Sunday we've got in store as well. Only three meetings, as things stand at least. Punchestown, Kelso and Huntingdon to look forward to on Sunday. Some great racing as well. Punchestown are inspecting at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. It is a precautionary inspection, as things stand, but there has been plenty of rain over in Ireland recently. Lost quite a few meetings as well, so fingers crossed that gets to go ahead. We're going to look at the John Durkin Memorial Chase there, which should be a good race, provided it goes ahead. We've got the Peterborough Chase at Huntingdon, and Kelso's not a bad card either. So some good national hunt racing, and it is a proper national hunt weekend, isn't it, Rory DeLaghi?
It certainly is, as you'd expect at this time of the year. And we're getting proper national hunt weather with it as well.
Yeah, that's true. It has been a little gloomy of late, and plenty of rain, obviously. We're hoping that Punchestown does go ahead, because it is a really strong card as well. So, but everything good with you, Rory?
Everything grand, yeah.
We've had a cracking weekend. Obviously, we're recording this during Saturday's racing, actually, so we can't reflect back on Saturday's stuff. But it is one of these weekends that really whets the appetite for the rest of the season, doesn't it?
It does, particularly when you're looking at the Grand National come the end of the year, which is obviously one of the big highlights or the major highlight if you're an occasional race fan. Mm. And having two races in one day over the national fences is a rare treat.
It is indeed. Right, we're going to start at Punchestown. As I've said, hopefully that will go ahead. The quote officially from the track is, "Our ground is heavy. We've had a lot of rain in recent days. The track has taken the rain quite well and we are raceable." That was as of Saturday morning. We've had 30 millimetres of rain overnight and there's a possibility of 10 to 20 more, but we'll assess the situation. But I'd be hopeful that we will race. So fingers crossed anyway for that one. The John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase comes up at 1:50 over 2.5 miles. We've got 7 runners down to go to post, Rory. And it is another very good renewal of a race that continually, you know, the winners are never bad ones, shall we say. You don't tend to get flukes in this race either. You haven't in recent years. What takes your eye this year?
The best horse in this race is Jackadam. Mm-hmm. And he's a horse who should have a very good season. The tricky thing about assessing this race is working out how fit Jackadam's going to be, because his only poor run in memory came in the Hennessy last year when he finished, he trailed in 8th, when most paddock judges, including our own Ken Pitterson, had him down as being grossly unfit. Mm. He came on markedly from that, was an impressive winner of the Thyestes at Gorham before finishing a fantastic second in the Gold Cup. And his performance at Cheltenham last year is rather overshadowed by other things there, both by the likes of Vautour winning the JLT. But, you know, he's only a 6-year-old virtual novice himself. He was a faller in the JLT himself the previous season, but he'd only looked a shell of a horse at that stage. Mm. For him to run as well as he did at Cheltenham as a 6-year-old was a huge performance. And he's a big player in this year's Gold Cup as long as he's as good. He also ran extremely well to be second to Don Cossack on his final start, and Don Cossack arguably the best horse in training over fences at the moment. Mm. Although that's going to be debated long and wide. Pony Gree certainly deserves to be top of the tree, having won the Gold Cup himself. 2.5 miles, arguably too short, although that was the trip he was racing over as a novice at Cheltenham. And this race will be there to bring him on for future targets. So it's tough to get heavily involved at a shortish price. But he is clearly the horse to beat. It's just a case of knowing whether he's ready for it. The rain will help him in terms of stamina, because mm-hmm. it'll be an issue for one or two of these, notably Hidden Cyclone, who clearly doesn't stay 3 miles, and he's as good at two as he is at 2.5. He handles the ground very well, Hidden Cyclone. His issue maybe in the past has been that he's been a little headstrong for his own good. Shark Hanlon, who trains him, thinks he's finally growing up. Although at the age of 10, you'd certainly hope so. And I just wonder whether his best days are just about behind him. He's still high class, but he's up against some very, very exciting young chasers. Valser Lido's another one there who did well for Willie last season. He was third, of course, to Vautour in the JLT. And he won over 3 miles one at Punchestown in his final start. Plenty of people didn't think he would stay that trip. Interestingly, Willie has him down as a Grand National horse, which is a wee bit of a surprise given his profile. But and he was half expected to come over for the Grand Sefton or the Beecher, probably the Beecher, I'd imagine, given the ratings.
Interesting though, for a horse that supposedly didn't stay or wasn't going to stay 3 miles, to all of a sudden be stepping up to marathon trips.
He proved his stamina over 3 mile one, without any shadow of a doubt at Punchestown on softish ground. And Willie's a very good judge of his horses, so he's another one to bear in mind. But again, he's exactly the same problem as the favourite. You can't really back Valser Lido. He's not as good a horse as Jackadam at this stage. And if Jackadam's going to need the run, then he might do as well. Okay. In fairness, if you're trying to guess which of Willie Mullins' horses are going to need a run first time out this season, those who run in the Rich Ritchie colours are much more likely to be brought along with a spring in mind than the Giggenstein horses.
Now, we've got seven runners, which is a bit of a shame, because from what you've been saying, you think that the race could maybe open up to some potential each-way value had we had the eight runners. Are you still going to go for one at a slightly bigger price?
I think you have to, without knowing the fitness of the Mullins pair, particularly Jackadam. The one who is the most likely improver this season, and a horse who's got a pedigree for this race, if you like, is Gil Gamboa. He's a son of Westerner out of America called High Native. She is a full sister to Native Upmanship, who won this race and is one of the best 2.5 milers that Ireland's produced in a long time. A dual winner of this race in 2000 and 2002. Also a winner of the Melling Chase at Aintree and stuff like that. Absolutely fantastic horse in his time. And Gil Gamboa has always been held in high regard. He's trained by a proper horseman in the shape of Enda Bolger. He was a very good novice last season, but he's probably got £10 to find with the best of these. But given that he's only turning, he's only seven now, he's been fairly lightly raced. He's actually older than one or two of these. But given he's trained by Enda Bolger, who's famous for getting longevity out of his horses and improving them as they go along, he is liable to improve a fair bit from his novice days to this. And this is the ideal race for him. This just might be the perfect race all season. So he's maybe the play in the race. If you had fitness guaranteed for all the field, then you'd worry whether he quite got the class for it, but I think he'd be ready for it. Barry Garrity obviously rides, giving you runs in the colours of JP. He's certainly a much better prospect as a second season chaser than Clarkham. Clarkham did well last season, but he was getting a generous 4-year-old allowance in his early starts over fences, and I think he was found out a little bit later in the day. He was a good second to Petit Zig in the that graduation chase at Down Royal last time out. But that does seem to put him down as just below top class. So he'll be doing well to win this. And Flemingstar won this race 3 years ago. I don't think he's coming back, but it'll be absolutely fantastic to see. He's now trained by Anthony Curran, who's the son of his owner. He did at least show a little bit more when he was third in the Fortria behind Hidden Cyclone last time out. He had a dreadful time last season when he moved yards, and it'll be lovely to see him back on song. That'll be a great story, and the crowd would love it as well. But you have to wonder whether whether he's never going to recover from that injury that he had.
Yeah, okay. So the pick in this one?
The pick is Gil Gamboa.
Okay, Gil Gamboa then, to take the John Durkin. Next up is Huntingdon's 2 o'clock. It is the Peterborough Chase. Obviously a grade two contest, again over 2.5 miles. Only five runners going to post here, Rory, but it's a good little race. It's hard to rule any of them out. Camping Grounds is obviously improving, or was last year. But Pete Rose, she's tough. But I'd imagine most people are going to be focusing on the top three here. Alpha Off, Petit Zig and Wishful Thinking. Wishful Thinking won this race last year. Alpha Off, we know, is very, very classy now with Dan Skelton. And Petit Zig, the six-year-old in the field, I love this horse, and I think he's going to go pretty close tomorrow. Do you?
Yeah, well, he's got fitness on his side. He's improving. And he ran the race of his life when second to Vautour at Ascot last time out. So he's got to go pretty well. I thought it was an interesting clash, though, between Petit Zig, trained by Paul Nicholls, and the ex-Paul Nicholls trained Alfa Roth, who was moved to Dan Skelton. No sign of a falling out there. That was just a decision by John Hales to reward Dan Skelton with a decent horse. And, of course, a horse who's seen better days, but he's always gone very well fresh. The issue with Alfa Roth, essentially, in terms of what he's achieved in the racecourse, is that John has always wanted him to be a Gold Cup horse. He's never been a Gold Cup horse, I'm afraid. It's a 2.5-miler through and through. He's a horse who is quite light-framed. He doesn't always see his campaign out. He, of course, won possibly the best supreme hurdle we've ever seen, going back a few years with the likes of Sprinter Sacra and Q Card trailing in his wake. Spirit Sun was second that day. He was a horse who promised to be an absolute superstar as well, but his career was blighted by injury. He's proved to be as good over fences, better over fences even, if you like. I remember when we won the Paddy Power Gold Cup with a massive weight on heavy ground. He's won the Amlin Chase at Ascot for the last couple of seasons as well, showing his very best form first time out. Interesting that he's missed that race last year and gone for this. I don't know whether that's always been Dan Skelton's plan or whether he's taken a little bit longer to come to hand. That would be a slight concern with him. And he won't be beating many of these horses later in the season, but this just might be his day. And I think it would mean an awful lot for Dan Skelton to win this race with Alfa Roth, given the gesture in the horse moving to his yard. And also, if he can beat one of Paul Nicholls' better horses as well, then that's a feather in his cap. He obviously still retains a huge amount of admiration for Paul, and they're still very good friends, but, you know, it's not about friendship on the course.
No.
It's about winning major prizes. So I suspect that Alfa Roth will be absolutely cherry ripe for this. And while it's no easy task for him, there's very little between this entire field on form. Camping Ground's going to be the outsider of the field, but he's the youngest in the race and he's completely unexposed. The last time we saw him, he was fourth in the Imperial Cup at Sandown. Prior to that, he'd been an impressive winner. Very impressive winner from Al Alfa on his first chase start in this country, and he looks the type to go on to much better things this year. But this is a tough task for him. And the other one who gets a strong mention, and she could even go off favourite for this, depending on how the market pans out, Pepite Rose gets all the weight. She's only got 10 stone 11 on her back because she gets the she had a fairly barren time last season, and she gets the Mare's Alliance, so she's getting the best part of a stone off the top three. Of whom Wishful Thinking won the race last year, but it's now 12 turning 13, and you wonder whether he's going to be on the downgrade a little bit. He's been a wonderful servant for Philip Hobbs.
Pleasing reappearance, though.
Yeah, it was a pleasing reappearance. It's a race that he won very easily the previous season, but of course he went on to win this race as well. His form tends to just drop away midwinter for whatever reason. He ran a stinker in the King George last year when I thought he'd run well, but given that he, again, like Alfa Roth, tends to run very well in his first couple of starts of the season, he has to come into the equation as well. He's probably going to be weak in the market as a 12-year-old. People don't like backing old chasers, essentially. We've mentioned Alfa Roth and Petit Zig at the top. 11-10's plenty of weight to be carrying in a race like this. And these Grade 2 races are often much less predictable. You're looking at the John Durkin and saying, no shocks. I think the last shock you had in that was a horse called Buck Rogers. And that's going back about 15 years or so. Really nice horse, though, Buck Rogers. But generally speaking, it goes to horses who are very obvious on paper. Grade 2 chases, because the conditions events and horses have to give penalties away, they often go to the lesser horses. So I wouldn't be ruling out Pepite Rose, who does get plenty of weight from the others.
Okay. So she'd be the pick?
No, I'll go for Alfa Roth.
Okay.
At the prices as they stand at the moment, I think Alfa Roth is probably the bet. But it's a very narrow call.
Okay. Alfa Roth then just edging it in what looks a really intriguing Peterborough Chase, an intriguing renewal. We're going to move to Kelso now for two races. More competitive stuff up there, I think it's fair to say. Lower grade, but we'll start with the 105. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got 10 runners down to go to post, and plenty of these arriving here in decent nick, Rory. It's not a bad little race, this.
It isn't a bad race for the grade. It's only a class four, but there's one or two who are on the up and up. But there's a standout for me in the race, a horse who's spent last year finding her feet, essentially, and has taken off in her last couple of starts. That's Alize de Janeiro for Lucinda Russell. Caught the eye a couple of times last season, tended to travel well in her races, didn't always have the strength to see it out. But she improved from winning a handicap at Kelso At the tail end of October. Not a great race, it has to be said, but she found plenty for pressure to win. And again, she found plenty, despite being nudged out near the line. She was just beaten by Clan Legend, again at Kelso last time out, on completely different ground. The first run wasn't good. It was heavy last time out. But on both occasions, unlike last season, she found plenty. She came 25 lengths clear of the third the last day. Again, those were fairly weak races that she was running in, but she showed much improved form. I think the form of that race last time out is very solid. The front two look to be improvers. They've come a long way clear of the rest of the field. And although the handicappers put her up another £6 in the weights, she's always given the impression that she's capable of better than she showed last season, and she's proven that in her last two runs. Mm-hmm. I think she'll continue to improve through the season, and she's going to be hard to beat off a mark of 106. So I thought she might just be a warm favourite here.
Okay. Dangers then?
Bop Along would be interesting if fit, starting out for Alistair Willens, but has been off the course since June 2014, and you've got to watch the market with that one. Hunter's Belt also has chances on the pick of his form, but although he ran well at Yatoxeter last time out, he doesn't tend to string two good efforts together. So those are hard enough to fancy. Deep Resolve should run well for Alan Swinbank. He's fit from a run in the all-weather. He ran very well when fourth at Southall the other day, and he's a dual winner over hurdles. He had a reasonably good season on the flat as well, so he's probably the main danger with Tom Scudamore riding for Alan Swinbank. But it might also be worth watching the market for a horse called Maxi T, who's ex-John Joe O'Neill and now starts off from Mickey Hammond. Mickey doing well with his horses at the moment, and Maxi T is one worth watching the market for. But in saying that, I think that Alize De Janeiro has an outstanding chance.
Okay, Alize De Janeiro, the pick in Kelso's 105. The final race we're going to look at is Kelso's 215. It is the Scotty Brand Champion Chase, a handicap over, nearly 3 miles, 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs. We've got 8 runners down to go to post. Some interesting ones here as well, Rory. Paul Nichols sends one up to Kelso. He doesn't do that very often. We've got Firth of the Clyde, who has promised a lot and delivered to a certain extent, but I'm sort of waiting for that horse to really sort of kick on. This could be an opportunity for the Jefferson Charge to do that, but there are other nice types in here. Where should we start with this race?
Well, let's start with Firth of the Clyde. It's a horse I also like a lot as well. I'll give you the positives and negatives with him. The positives are the yard's in very good form. In fact, Malcolm Jefferson's horse has been running well for a long time, but he had a very unfortunate spell when he had about almost 30 consecutive losers, but the vast majority of them finished second or third. He just couldn't get the winners out of them, but he's had a flurry of winners now in the last few days, and there's no doubt that the yard is flying. Brian Hughes, who rode him on his return at Weatherby, rode him as if the race was needed and didn't knock him about at all. He was held out towards the rear of the field, maybe struggled to keep tabs on them a little bit in that race over shorter, and was allowed to come home in his own time. That would have done him the world of good. He would have come on in terms of fitness for that. And he'd be a big player here if staying the trip. Now, that is the worry for me, because he's never really appeared a stayer at around 3 miles before, and it's going to be testing enough at Kelso. Mm. His very best form has come at between 2 and 2.5 miles. And although there's plenty of stamina in the family, he's not really given the impression that he will improve for a step up and trip. Mm-hmm. So that's the concern with him. I think he's well enough handicapped. Handicap has only dropped him a pound for that run last time out. He ran his best ever race over fences when second at Ayr, but that was in good ground over 2.5 miles at the Scottish National meeting. He's a horse who will win more races, and although he's a 10-year-old, he's not overexposed. Mm. He's still potentially got a nice little handicap in him, but I am concerned about conditions. Heavy ground in 3 miles is not certain to bring out the best in him at all. So I'm reluctantly going to pass him over.
Okay. As we speak, it's 1 o'clock on Saturday. Seven Sky is down to run, but also down to run at Aintree. Today, on Saturday, that is. So I wouldn't imagine that Seven Sky will be taking his place in the lineup. What else do you like in the race?
The obvious horse in the race really is Vivaldi Colange. He's not a horse I absolutely love, I have to say, but this looks much easier than some of the tasks he had last season. He's finished last and pulled up in his last three starts, but two of those came in very, very tough races. Behind King's Palace. Notably, he finished second to King's Palace at Newbury and actually pushed him reasonably close. Mm. He's only beaten a length at Newbury in February. Difficult to know how strong that form is because King's Palace had looked almost invincible up to that point, and then his form has rather dipped since. So whether he was on the in the process of going downhill at that stage, I'm not sure. And then he found it all too much in the 4 mile of the National Hunt Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Prior to that, he'd been running pretty well. He will handle heavy ground, and that won't be an issue for him at all. Most Dom Alcos do anyway. And he's not had that many tries over fences. I mean, you know, he was in a race he couldn't possibly win at the festival. And he was up against very, very good horses in his first two starts. So he gets in here off a mark of 134, which could underestimate him by a few pounds. And he's against considerably lesser horses than he's seen before. I know it's a Class 2 handicap, but there are no superstars in here. And for Paul Nicholls to send them all that way, you'd have to give him a chance. Alderbrook Lad is worth a second mention. Little bit disappointing last time out. But again, Mickey Hammond's doing okay with his. And Finian O'Toole is still able to claim. Worth bearing in mind that Finian O'Toole has ridden this in his last four starts, and he's been claiming the £10 for his yard. That £10 claim has now lapsed. Mm-hmm. Once you ride five winners, you no longer get that. So he's only claiming £7. So in a manner of speaking, you could imagine the horse has been put up £3 in the handicap, and that rather counts against him a little bit. We don't expect to see Seventh Sky. Big Water is liable to do a lot better than he's done in two starts this season. Pulled up at Stratford on his return, and then finished down the field at Carlisle. But that was in a very warm handicap hurdle, and he could do better. But the jury's out on him a little bit after those two runs.
Okay. So between Firth of Clyde and Vivaldi Collonge for you?
Yeah, but the vote definitely goes to Vivaldi Collonge with stamina guaranteed.
Okay. So Paul Nicholls horse there in Kelso's 215. Great stuff, Rory. Thanks very much for your time. Some good stuff on Sunday. Fingers crossed that Punchestown make it through their inspection. But we'll catch up with you soon, Rory, and enjoy Sunday's action.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.